In today's episode of Crypto Over Coffee, we're talking about the truth about the crypto bull market. We're going to break down why this particular crypto bull market that we are in the midst of now, or in the early stages of, is very different than previous bull markets. We're going to talk about how to navigate those changes and the things that make this bull market pretty unique, pretty scary actually, and also a great opportunity for crypto investors. So without further ado, please hit the subscribe button, follow me on the podcast platform of your choosing, and let's get into it. So, like I mentioned in the intro, this crypto bull market is very, very different than previous crypto bull markets. And there are a variety of reasons why. We're going to walk through those now. The first reason why this particular bull market is different than previous ones is, so far, to date, we have already reached Bitcoin all-time highs before the halving. We've broken into a new all-time high, and we've done that on the back of institutional buying of Bitcoin. Now, we haven't seen the face-melting altcoin runs where, as we ride up and up and up for Bitcoin, we see profit-taking and capital rolling out of Bitcoin into altcoins. Why is that? Because largely that type of activity is driven by retail investors. It's driven by traders, etc. Institutions are not operating in the same way as the traditional retail investor. The people who are buying Bitcoin through these institutional platforms and through the ETFs are also not the same as the people who have largely driven the previous crypto bull runs. So this is an interesting one. It's before the halving. We've already broken all-time highs. We've seen, for Bitcoin that is, we've seen some volatility. Every time we creep up to all-time highs, we hit it, huge sell-off. We break all-time highs, sell-off. That's interesting price behavior. It makes me think that there are a lot of dormant Bitcoin addresses, and we've started to see this in the data, dormant Bitcoin addresses from years and years and years ago that are coming awake right now and selling into this institutional FOMO, which I don't mind really. I think it's interesting to see how many long-term holders that are in the profit are actually going to sell. And that's an indicator that I look at when I'm looking at any, I don't really read charts, but what I do is I look at data. And one of the data points that I look at is the number of holders or number of addresses or wallets that are in profit at any given time to tell me maybe now is the best time to sell. Because there's just a lot of seller potentiality. I don't know how you would best or probability to sell when you get into that mode and when the data says that. So that's one thing that's different. We're doing a lot of things in this market based off of what the institutions are doing. We're making a lot of our decisions based on what institutions are doing and when we look at the markets. Now, the other thing that's very different in this environment is you have such a wide variety of different narratives that people are tracking and people are following. And you only have a certain amount of capital that's rotating into these altcoin ecosystems and into these narratives. And so what's interesting is in years past, say 2021, you had a huge influx of capital, market cap growing for crypto sort of in totality. And a lot of that was driven by retail coming in, looking to make those 10x, 50x, 100x gains. They were rotating into specific narratives, and you know, you saw what happened, right? Altcoins went crazy until the party stopped, and then you had the massive sell-offs, 98, 99% sell-offs into the depths of the bear market. This year, we haven't quite seen that yet. We've seen the same capital from the same general investors, it seems, rotating from one, you know, ecosystem to the other, one narrative to the other. Of course, you have narratives, and I have a video all about crypto bull run narratives that I've been looking at, things that you should watch, things that you need to be a little careful with, ranging from decentralized physical infrastructure to AI to gaming to SocialFi and all these different things. And if you want to watch that video or listen to that podcast, I will leave it in the description, and you can also find it on the channel page. So you've got two things that are majorly different right now that we've talked about so far. You've got institutions driving the show and these investors that are bringing in large amounts of capital through the ETF to Bitcoin. That capital is not rotating into altcoins the same way that we saw in previous cycles. You also don't have that retail FOMO quite yet. Search traffic is still relatively low for altcoins, Bitcoin, crypto. The tide has not shifted to retail yet, and that's why you haven't seen the insane fervence around altcoins yet. Now, I think we will probably see that. This is part of what makes this bull run different. You have, first of all, performance that completely outstripped what I think many of us thought, including myself. If you had told me, let's say 6 months ago, that we would see a new all-time high for Bitcoin before the halving, I would have told you, no way. Look at the data. In years past, in previous halvings, we haven't seen that happen. And this just tells you that this bull market is different. This bull market is not the same as previous ones. And there are a variety of reasons for that, two of which we've already talked about, and the third I'm about to share with you right now. The third is that this is an unprecedented macroeconomic environment for Bitcoin and crypto. Macroeconomic and, to be quite honest with you, the political environment is completely different than it was during Bitcoin's founding and during the previous Bitcoin halving cycles. There are a lot of things going on right now. You have interest rates that are going to stay higher for longer, very likely. You may see interest rate cutting in 2024, but I don't think we're going to see that. Maybe some people disagree with me. Maybe I end up being incorrect, but that's what it seems like to me right now. Maybe rate cuts do happen towards the end of the year, but I'm not 100% sure. But regardless, this is a very different macroeconomic environment to where what we had in 2021, for example, where you had rates at zero and intense stimulus being pumped into economies all around the world, not just in the United States and some of the other bigger economies. So it's very different right now. The second thing is that you have now in this environment sort of the beginnings of large global conflicts, and these conflicts instill fear in people and fear of instability, fear of war, fear of political structural changes, mistrust in governments. All these things sort of add up to what you're seeing right now in the, especially with Bitcoin. I really believe that there are a lot of wealthy people, people who have a lot of resources, whether that's cash and assets, etc., who are now thinking very critically about their relationships to particular states that they belong to, and I mean states like countries, and also how to protect their wealth during times of uncertainty, because there is a lot of it. And I will tell you, I think anyone who interacts with the wealthy more often than not, or you work with them, maybe you have friends or family who are in that sort of echelon of people, one of the things that you can always tell about most of them is that the biggest fear they have, the biggest insecurity they have, is losing the wealth that they have obtained. And that is a huge driver for some of the things that you're seeing right now. People are looking to protect their assets. They're looking to hedge against the unknown. And there are a lot of unknowns right now. So that's why you see what was originally, oh, you should have, you know, 1% exposure to Bitcoin and crypto, now becoming, you know, potentially close to double digit percentage allocations for some of those types of individuals and families, etc. You even saw Larry Fink, the BlackRock kingpin, as they would say. Maybe that's a little mean, but anyways, say what you want about Larry Fink. He's done a lot of crazy stuff in this market recently, and one of the recent things he's done is basically gone on television and said that quiet part out loud, which is, if you have distrust for where things are going, maybe you don't trust your the state you belong to, maybe you have questions about the future of the economy, you have digital gold right here. You have Bitcoin. So that is the way that they're selling this product. And it's clearly to appeal to a need, to a desire. That is where this FOMO is coming from wealthy clients through institutions. And retail is likely going to follow eventually. Now, retail is an interesting one. Shifting focus there now, how things are different. Retail, just not that long ago, 2 years ago. It sounds like a long time, but it's not. Retail is still healing from the transgressions of the past in crypto. And when I say transgressions of the past, I mean the cataclysm of the collapse of CeFi, Celsius, BlockFi, Voyager, all the contagion that happened there, Terra, Three Arrows Capital, all of these things that absolutely destroyed retail investors, including institutions, yes, including venture, yes, but it was mostly retail that took the brunt of that punch. And retail is going to take a long time to regain trust in crypto. And there are a lot of people who never invested in crypto, who saw a friend, a family member, etc., getting destroyed by all of what happened in the collapse into the bear market in the previous cycle, that they are very likely to take a lot of convincing and will approach crypto very, very carefully. So in my personal opinion, and there's no way to fully verify this with the data, but you can kind of see the signs in the data, which is it's largely the same people who were always investing in crypto, who were always a part of this space, who are investing now. There's not a lot of new influx. And you can see that in social traffic. You can see that in terms of what's being invested in, right? Where all the heavy allocation of funds are going. You can see that in the launchpad platforms that are just not filled with people like they used to be. You can see that in a lot of ways and a lot of data that retail has not returned. And we will not see the insane, seemingly never-ending altcoin run until those folks return. This bull market is very, very different already, just on paper, just on looking at the data, than previous years. And so I personally believe that you and anyone around you that's in this space needs to be very, very, very careful with how you approach this particular bull market, because I don't think all the same plays and all the same strategies are going to work this time around as they did the last time. Now, what does that mean for you? What can you do about this? How can you approach this? Because it's really difficult when you're entering into a space where history repeats, history echoes, and until it doesn't. And when it doesn't, it becomes very hard to formulate a strategy and do what you need to do in the market to, you know, to make and keep your profits, to find the right investments to make, to avoid round tripping your cryptocurrencies and carrying them all the way back down to rock bottom. And there are, of course, a handful of videos that I've made over the past several years, including one this year about formulating your crypto strategy. I released that as a podcast and as a full-length video. If you want to watch that or you want to listen to that, I will link that as well in the description for you to check out after you're done with this video. But the gist of it is, I think this particular bull market is going to require people to be extremely focused on risk management and cash management, more so than any other bull market before. And if you look at all the stuff on social media, you would say, oh, this is the time to put all your chips on the table, push them into the middle, and just make bets on anything you can find, because that's going to make you a millionaire. And I will tell you right now that that is potentially the dumbest risk-reward play that you can possibly make. In times of uncertainty, it is not necessarily the time to close your eyes and start throwing darts at the board like you might see from influencers on Twitter or on YouTube, etc., saying, well, this is a guaranteed win. There is no such thing as a guaranteed win. And I think we are going to see in this bull market the invalidation of a lot of the previous bull market theses and a lot of the previous bull market data points that says, when you start to see this happen, you should do this. This is the top signal. This is what we're going to see here. There are too many wild cards that could be played. Global conflict, political instability, the entrance of institutions. Will retail return? And if they return, when do they return? What does that actually look like? It is very possible that we could see a situation where by the time retail returns, institutions start to exit. Is that possible? Yes, it's very possible. Is it likely? It's hard to say right now. And there are some rumblings of other people that have that in the back of their mind as well. Institutions have bought up all this Bitcoin. A lot of them are in profit. When retail starts to come, are they just buyers? Are they exit liquidity for institutions. Because let's be real, if you look at other markets, that's often what happens. Look at every IPO that launches. Every IPO that launches is insiders make profit. Retail is the exit liquidity for those folks. And that is the unfortunate truth. We have welcomed the sharks into the pool, and now we're all kind of locked in with them. And we don't really know, because we've never seen, how institutions are going to behave in a single-digit trillion market cap industry that we are in. There's a very small pool and some pretty big sharks swimming around in it. So we don't really know what's going to happen. So you need to position yourself defensively and really be keeping your ear to the ground, looking at the data, and being extra, extra careful when you are diving in head first, because getting pushed out of this market entirely is a guaranteed way that you're not going to get exposure to some of the wins and the profits that you could potentially get when things really start popping off. So what happens after the halving? I think that's the big thing everyone wants to know. This is new territory, uncharted territory. We have a new all-time high before the Bitcoin halving, which everyone said is, you know, that's what causes a new all-time high, is you have, you know, Bitcoin that sits at, you know, the previous all-time high up until the halving, and then it reaches a new all-time high. That's what we do. That's how the data looks like. That's what the data looks like. History repeats until it doesn't. So when the halving happens, do we see a sell-off? Do we see miners finally saying, I can now make my profits. I'm now at equilibrium. I'm done. I'm hanging it up. I'm not doing this anymore. Could we? Possibly. Do I think that's likely? Probably not. Do we see just a constant face melting ride up after the halving because the supply and demand curve dictates it? You have now far fewer Bitcoin or BTC units being released into circulation, and you have a ravenous set of investors trying to buy up that supply? That is a great question. It's one that we don't really know the answer to right now. I think the most likely scenario is that for Bitcoin specifically, you have this extreme supply constriction. And if demand remains even close to what it is right now from the institutional side, that's a recipe for the price to just continue going up, 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 and up. And as energy costs rise, as inflation continues to cool but not go away completely, I think you have on a unit basis the recipe for Bitcoin to continue to go up. Now, does that drag the rest of the crypto market with it like it has in years past? I'm not 100% convinced of that in the way that I used to be because of the behavior that we've seen sort of across the space recently. Yes, you've seen other large cap cryptocurrencies start to ride, but I think a lot of that is actually driven by speculation about an Ether ETF and what that means for other cryptocurrencies that are similar to Ether. So we've got a lot of speculation there. That's just another wild card in this space. You have regulatory concerns, of course, that people still need to be considering. And there are a lot of people in the comments, I mentioned this a while ago, a lot of people in the comments who, you know, were a little mad at me for saying that we should be concerned about regulation. We should be concerned about how that is facilitated in certain countries around the world. No one country defines the outcome for crypto or for Bitcoin. We get this. The problem is that when you have big changes, markets overreact. They overreact, and that is just the way it works. So if there were a really, really bad regulatory move made in the United States, for example, or another Western economy, or a large Eastern economy, you would probably see a sell-off. We saw that with China. People were saying, listen, does China really matter in the grand scheme of things? If they ban crypto, what's the big deal? They banned crypto. We saw a sell-off. We recovered, but we saw a sell-off. So for people that are out there playing in the markets, you need to be aware of those things because it can crush you if you're using leverage or you're using some of the tools that are out there to trade, which, again, if you're not experienced, I generally don't recommend you do. But that's a story for another day. Please subscribe. You'll hear that story soon. So what do we do now? What do we do now with this information? What do we do with the bull market? And do we still think that we're going to see the same type of performance from a crypto bull market as there has been in years past? My answer is yes, there will be a large-scale crypto bull market. We're going to see big narratives driving big returns. You have speculation right now around an Ether ETF. You have the Denkun upgrade that I talked about in a previous video, driving a lot of excitement in the Ethereum ecosystem. You have Solana, which is still sort of the meme coin season home base for a lot of people. You have a lot of things right now that are still driving excitement. The retail just hasn't shown up. And you know how you can tell when retail starts to show up? Social traffic, search traffic, and stablecoin supply. As you start to see stablecoin supply overall rising, and you see the market cap for crypto overall rising, especially when you sort of pull Bitcoin out of it for a moment, then you start to see, okay, the confluence of these indicators are telling me that retail is entering the space. And we've seen that in previous years. And I think this year it's going to be even more important to understand when retail's coming in, figure out how you want to play it. Does that mean you take profits off the table? Or are you betting that retail is going to come in and drive things higher and higher and higher? That's a decision for you to make. Now, if you're strategizing, I think you need to be picking 1, 2, maximum 3 narratives and absolute top end maximum 35, 40 cryptocurrencies. And I think you should really be looking at half of that. To be honest, you should be looking at 15 cryptocurrencies that you really understand, that you have high conviction in, and then really actively strategizing with those and not letting the noise distract you, not chasing the shiny thing, because that is how you're going to get absolutely burned in this bull market setup right now, especially in the Bitcoin space right now. And any time where you have the more large scale institutional investors in the game, you should be extra cautious, because these people are going to have way more information than you have. They're going to have more capital than you have, largely. And you don't really know exactly how they're going to behave, because they don't behave exactly like retail investors do. And in previous cycles, we've had mostly retail investors to think about. Now, the previous top signals are largely, you have massively inflating market caps for projects that are relatively garbage, to be nice. And that's being conservative. Garbage is being conservative. You also have Coinbase and other cryptocurrency applications top on app stores. You have every news outlet, Wall Street Journal, Bloomberg, even ones that hate crypto, posting articles about it constantly. And you saw this with NFTs in the last cycle. You just had to know that the party was going to stop eventually. It was getting insane. Everyone was talking about NFTs, positively or negatively, but no one would shut up about it. You generally know it's the top when stuff like that starts to happen. You've got this huge tentpole of search for cryptocurrencies, for Bitcoin, you know, how to get rich, how to be a millionaire. You start to see those articles. It's, so-and-so from Cincinnati, Ohio invested $12 in Shiba Inu Obama Pepe coin and made $40 million and then lost it all the next day, now owes $20 million in taxes, okay? It's like these types of things you see and you realize, okay, now is the time that I should be thinking of my escape route so that I can hold on to some of these profits. And I think you need to be thinking about that now, not in the middle of it, when it's difficult to separate yourself emotionally from the idea of moons, Lambos, and Manhattan apartments. So this bull market is going to be very different. The data is already telling us that it's different. Being in a place where we've crossed all-time high for Bitcoin pre-halving is different. Talking about Ether ETFs already is very different. Having like 14 or 15 huge narratives that seem primed to make lots of capital happen, to grow a ton in crypto, where we used to have maybe two or three big narratives at a time, tells you what's happening in this space. And where I'm struggling a little bit in this is there are going to be a lot of people who try and play this bull market exactly like they have the previous ones. And I don't know that that is absolutely going to work. I don't have all the answers, because if I did, well, things would be really great for me if I had all the answers, and I don't pretend to. But the truth is that I look at it from the perspective of what the data is telling us. In the early days of this bull market, I think you can start to notice some of the patterns if you use some of the tools that are at your disposal. Glassnode, Santiment, Dune, depending on what ecosystem you're using. If you're into DeFi, you know, DeFi Llama, these places where you can start to look at the trends of the market before you put a dollar on the line. You can look at the trends in the market and start to formulate your own theses for how things work, how the an influx of retail would change the game. Think about the different situations and scenarios, and then deploy your capital and think about what you want to do. You're also going to have plenty of opportunities and sell-offs, I believe. There are some people who believe that volatility is going to taper as the market gets larger and as institutions enter. And I don't really agree with that at this point. Now, it is possible in the long term, but right now, I don't think I believe that. So I think, just like you saw in the last couple of days, there were a couple times where a large swath of altcoins went down, you know, 7, 10, 12, 15% all in one go. And so if you are looking like, well, it's too late for me to enter the space, it's too late for me to enter the market, if I start planning now, nah, it's going to pass me by. I don't really agree with that. I think now is the time to be doing this. And the window is closing to make your plan. It's because you need to have it in place before the buying opportunities show up, before things start to go crazy. And so I would really be focused on doing that now. This bull market will be very interesting. I'm actually very excited because, you know, it's a little boring and formulaic. Every 4 years we have a halving, Bitcoin goes to all-time high. There's a bunch of millionaire maker crypto projects. Then everyone's launching projects in specific narratives. Those make a bunch of money for insiders. Then they dump. Then there's some sort of cataclysmic event. The whole market collapses. And then it's boring for 2 years. And then we do it all over again. And we have the same people coming out of the woodwork online saying, hey, you know, I learned my lesson last cycle. I made $2 million and I lost every penny. And I'm going to do better this time. And then you have the influencers coming back and saying, hey, you know, I'm going to make you a millionaire. Join my Discord, join my Telegram, pay me $50 a month, you know, send me your crypto. Oh, also, you're my exit liquidity in the subtext. Now, maybe I'm being a bit cynical with that, but there is a lot of that going on in the space. You need to be your own champion in this space because nobody's going to do it for you. Influencers are certainly not going to do it for you. Because influencers, as much as they say they want you to win, they want to win for themselves way more than they want you to win. And that is just human nature. You can call it greed or whatever you want, but that's just people. I think if you form a plan and you execute that plan, you can do really well in this bull market because it's going to be a lot different. And it's the people who are thinking about the bull case, the bear case, the positive and negative outcome in every situation are the ones who are going to win. Not the ones who are just saying, dump all your money into the space blindly, pick a couple narratives, you're going to make millions, and then you're going to retire. It's never been that easy. It's not going to be that easy this time. And it's going to be even harder this time because it's not going to look exactly like the 2021 bull market because the environment we're in is 100% different than the one we were before. Even if we get rate cuts, even if we start to see a little bit of stimulus going on, it's still a very different world to what we had in previous halving cycles for Bitcoin and previous bull markets. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now. I would love to hear in the comments or on the podcast feedback platform what you think about this. What do you think about this bull market? Is it different or is it just the same thing? Is it just an echo that looks slightly different than the last one, but it's going to behave the same way? Please let me know what you think. If you agree with me, great. If you disagree with me, even better. Let me know why. Let's have a discussion. So I want to thank you very much for coming by, watching, or listening to this episode of Crypto Over Coffee. Really glad that I'm back in the saddle and making videos week in, week out, and looking forward to ramping this up and making even more content for you. So thanks very much. Hope you and your family have a great rest of your weekend. And until next time, cheers.